Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go on a Monday. Great to have you in live in Los Angeles. It's the Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1. I have an interesting relationship with the state of Ohio. Buckeye fans know I usually have their back. I rooted like crazy for LeBron to win a title with the Cavaliers. The Browns have been a running joke for 20 years, and I acknowledge that, and I'm suddenly a bad guy. But now I like them to win their division and get to the AFC Championship, potentially. Cleveland doesn't know what to do with me.
I too, have an interesting relationship with the state of Ohio.
Yeah, because you're a Pittsburgh girl.
Yeah. I've also spent a lot of time there.
In Cleveland?
Well, Jason went to Akron.
Wow.
My younger brother went to Youngstown State.
Oh, so you've been in Cleveland a lot.
I've spent a lot of time in Ohio.
Waverly Heights. That's supposed to be a nice place there. I was there once at the airport. It's right on the water. It was very windy. It was a rough flight.
Cavs fans is a different situation, but yeah, the Browns, I'm with you.
Browns fans are not going to know what to do with me because I'm going to say something in the next 20 minutes.
Well, sports fans in general have a really hard time with this segment that we're about to do because they believe if you say something at any point in your life, that's your opinion for the rest of your time on this earth.
And it's not.
No. It is wildly frustrating.
Okay. Colin Wright, Colin Wrong. Do it every Monday at this time. Brought to you by Jersey Mike's Subs. Good things come to those who wait at Jersey Mike's. They come to those who don't. Download the app, order ahead, skip the line now through June 20th. Use the code THEHERD for a buck off the order. Here we go.
Where Colin was right.
Been saying it for 2 months. Chris Paul's the MVP of the league. I don't care that he doesn't score 28. You put him on the floor with Jokic, it's not even a debate. Not only did he shoot 63% from the field against Denver, he shot 84% in the fourth quarter. He is the best, most important, impactful player left. And I don't know why everybody struggles with it. Maybe it's, you know, I think it's pretty simple that he hasn't won yet. And in the world we live in now, if you don't win it all, you're a loser. But what you're seeing now is what I kept preaching in the regular season. Maybe the people on the East Coast just didn't watch Suns games because they were on late at night. But this is what he's been doing now all season, taking a bunch of kids. And they're on their last 7 playoff games. They're just dismantling the Lakers, dismantling Denver. We know the West is generally better than the East.
Where Colin was wrong.
3 years ago, I looked it up. I called the Sixers Ben Simmons an all-timer. He still is an all-time disappointment. He took 3 shots in game 2. His indifference is maddening. You can't blame it on immaturity now. He's been in the league now 4 years. He will not get better. He's shooting 35% at the free throw line. For God's sakes, he's a guard. I understand the big guys that don't shoot free throws, the big hands. He's a guard. I mean, when you can't trust your point guard to shoot free throws, you are in big trouble. Embiid's the better free throw shooter. And he is just, I can't get my arms around somebody that gifted, not willing to work on a significant hole in their game. I just can't, I can't wrap my brain around it.
Where Colin was right.
When the Clippers went down 0-2, I said they're going to win the series. They're going to go home, roll Utah. I've never felt it more than I do now. First of all, they won Game 3 going away. They could have won both games 1 and 2 off a brutally demanding 7-game series. Utah was well rested. Mike Conley's out, and now Donovan Mitchell has re-injured his ankle. So now Donovan Mitchell's not 100%. They're not winning this series in Utah without Donovan Mitchell at 100%. It's not happening. He's their best athlete. And Utah, though very well coached and very good at protecting the rim, is not hyper-athletic. The Clippers are. So I never bought into 0-2 was defining. I think the Clippers will win tonight, win in Utah, come back in L.A. They will end up going down 0-2 and winning 4 straight.
where Colin was wrong.
Now, I'm going to quit predicting anything on the Bucks-Nets. I whiffed. So, first of all, I predicted the Bucks would win the championship because, A, their stars are not guys that get hurt much. That part, I guess, I was a little right on. But then they got humiliated in the first two games, did not even match up with Brooklyn. Brooklyn didn't have James Harden and still rolled the Bucks. I looked ridiculous. Then I buried the Bucks, and now the Nets are all banged up, and Utah throttles the Nets twice. So from this point, I'm going to watch the series. I'm going to enjoy the series. I have no idea what's going to happen. I believe the series has come down to the medical staff for the Nets deciding who wins it.
Where Colin was right.
You know, remember when all the media came out and said the Niners are taking Mac Jones number three, and everybody was absolutely sure, and Joy and I kept saying, A, that's a lot to give up for Mac Jones. And B, my big question was, nothing leaks from the Niners. Now everybody in the world has the draft pick. My sources, as I said multiple times, my sources didn't say they were drafting Mac Jones. All these legitimate reporters, it's Mac Jones, it's done. And I'm like, I don't know if it's done. Kyle Shanahan poked fun at the expert media this weekend.
I do laugh at that everyone thinks that they know exactly what I want on quarterback, because I thought we had a chance to get the number one free agent quarterback who was going to be on the market in our second year. And since we did, people just assume that's how I would draw it up, which if you draw it up, obviously you're going to give the guy everything.
Bottom line is, Mac Jones, the guarantees were always overstated.
Where Colin was wrong.
Jordan Love of the Packers actually spoke to the media. I had said the day before, is this guy the Loch Ness Monster? They won't let him talk. We don't get any video. The very next day, he held a press conference. There was all sorts of video. And my theory was they're protecting him because they just don't like what they see. Well, he was great at the podium. And that day at practice, he was unbelievable. So apparently I was wrong on that. I thought it was a protective mechanism because they were frightened to let us see anything. And he was actually fine with both, better than fine with both, and so I was wrong.
Where Colin was right.
Said this about Dak Prescott. He doesn't have the best arm. He's not the best talent. He has always understood the value of being the Dallas Cowboy quarterback. He's always understood that. Last week, the Jordan brand made him the richest NFL player in the Jordan brand umbrella. This is where Dak really gets it. Podium, leadership. He aligns with the front office, though he may disagree. He never says the wrong thing. This is why I criticize the hat on backwards dudes. When you're a quarterback, you are now the face of a $4 to $5 to $6 billion franchise. Maturity is going to be a deal breaker. Baker Mayfield right now should get a contract extension. He's not, because they don't trust him. Dak Prescott, coming off an injury, got the biggest contract ever except Mahomes, and he got a Jordan brand contract. This is what I've always argued. Maturity matters. Leadership, understanding the temperature in the room matters for this position. And Dak may not have the best arm. He may not be the best mobile. He may not beat great teams all the time, but he is A++ in a lot of things that people don't give credit for.
Where Colin was wrong.
The Yankees are not only bad, they've lost 7 of 9. They're not even the most interesting team in their own city. The Mets have Jacob DeGrom. They're in first place. They're the talk of East Coast baseball. The Yankees have scored fewer runs in their own division than Baltimore, who has just 22 wins. They're not doing anything well. Aaron Boone, a buddy of mine who I thought was going to be kind of the elixir, the magic guy to it's not working. He talked about it.
We're going to find out what kind of character we're made of. We're clearly in the midst of incredibly tough times. We've faced it throughout this season. And, you know, we're going to find out what we're made of and if we're the team we think we are. And, you know, we need to step it up, period.
And finally, during the college football season, I said, everybody's a moralist until they're broke. I said, college football keeps telling us they're not going to have a playoff. I said, yes, they are. 6 months later, they have announced a playoff is coming after next season. Remember, for years it was, we're happy with four, there's going to be no playoff. And I told you, too many universities either make a fortune with football or they go broke. And when the pandemic hit and fans couldn't attend games, even major universities took troubling bank loans to pay the bills. Okay, a lot of these universities are teetering on the edge, and the only way to survive is a bigger check for television games. This is what we predicted, that college football and all their values and morals would cave to, hey, you know, you can make like $4 billion more a year with a playoff. And that's when they went upstairs, raised their hands, and agreed, we'll have a playoff in 1 year. I think it's the right move. I think it's imperfect. It's time to pay the players. I would scale back some of the out-of-conference games. 17 games, potentially, for teams is absurd if you're not going to pay players something. It's really, players are going to start sitting out games, and you're going to deserve it if you don't pay them. But we predicted they would move to a bigger playoff, and the we'll talk about it in 8 years took less than 8 months. All right, I'm going to get to my Cleveland Brown thing. I'm not going to rush it because I'm a complicated fella like Aaron Rodgers, and Cleveland doesn't really like me, but they're not going to know what to do with me when I say what I say, and I'm going to back it up with data, and then they're really going to be in trouble. They're not even going to know. Heads are spinning. Mind blown, Cleveland, when you hear what I got to say next. After a busy day, there's nothing better than a long, relaxing hot shower. And nothing worse than when the water runs out. Of course, it does not with Navien tankless water heaters. Instant, endless hot water, spa-like comfort. Enjoy all the hot water you need for as long as you need it. They make it easy to go tankless. It takes up less space than a traditional water tank. You save money and the planet by only heating hot water when you need it. Their 15-year limited warranty, among the best available. Save energy, save space, save big on your water bill with a high-efficiency Navien tankless water heater. And right now, save even more, hundreds, with local rebates. Find the name of your Navien contractor. He or she will help you upgrade to a Navien tankless water heater. The web address is free and easy to recall. TanklessMadeSimple.com, TanklessMadeSimple.com, Navien. High efficiency, saving your water bill.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Saturday on Fox, Nolan Arenado and the Cardinals take on Ronald Acuna Jr. and the Braves, or the White Sox battle the Astros, or Reds Padres. It all starts at 7 Eastern on Fox and the Fox Sports app. Check local listings for the game in your area.
You know what? I was going to wait to do my Cleveland story, but I'm so giddy with excitement, I feel I should address it now. So Travis Kelce is a great player for the Kansas City Chiefs. Outspoken, great player. So, and I think most people, we all know in the AFC now with all these great quarterbacks, Kansas City and Buffalo, Baltimore, you know, these are teams that have won, you know, and we think they can win. I mean, Buffalo went to a lot of Super Bowls. They got right people in. Cleveland's the one we look at and go, yeah, I know, but it's Cleveland, right? Like, if you don't show us that you can win, it's hard for us to believe you can win. I joke about Gonzaga. Gonzaga goes 31-1. All everybody talks about is the loss. Well, they've never won the biggie. And they win 99% of their games. So you got to show fans we can win. And I do believe there is something to be said about Cleveland's dysfunction. Will it rear its head? It's just the ownership. Will it? Well, Travis Kelce comes out and says, basically, yeah, we know we're great, and we think Cleveland's great too.
Definitely a contender, without a doubt. I mean, it's definitely there. Baker and the gang have upped the ante, made this team an unbelievable team and a team you have to prepare for and take serious. And, you know, I think that moving forward, without a doubt, I can see a lot more playoff games between us. And, you know, I'll just take it one day at a time and hope for it. But I think that, you know, the Browns and Chiefs are definitely neck and neck.
And by the way, they open up this year. Kansas City and Cleveland, great game open up. Now, in hockey, it's understood. If you have a great goalie, you're going to win. I mean, Montreal has half the wins of the Las Vegas Golden Knights, and there's a reason Montreal's there, because Montreal's got the best goalie right now, the hottest goalie in the world. Hockey's about making stops. If you got a great goalie, you're a good team. Doesn't matter what the rest of your team. In the NFL, if you have the best offensive line, it is hard. You control the clock. You've got a run game. Your quarterback's safe. Your quarterback's got time. You pick up third downs. You control the tempo. You keep another great offense off the field. You don't even have to have a great defense. If you have a great offensive line, it just controls everything. I mean, in baseball, you can have a great bullpen. But what does it matter if you trail going into the eighth inning, right? Like, you need starting pitching. But just Cleveland has the best offensive line in the NFL. That's not under dispute. It right now, it is fantastic. Well, let's go. I think four of their five players are like high-graded PFF, like top five. Let's go to the last 5 years, the best offensive line in the NFL. So last year, you can certainly make an argument, it was the Colts. So the Colts allowed the second fewest sacks and the second fewest quarterback pressures. What happened? Philip Rivers won 11 games. He's now retired. Old, immobile Philip Rivers won 11 games last year. 2019, best offensive line was the Ravens. Ronnie Stanley, Marshall Yanda, Orlando Brown. They had the number one rushing offense in NFL history, allowed a league-low NFL quarterback pressures that year. What did they do? 14-2. Year before, it was the Rams. Remember Andrew Whitworth, Roger Saffold, John Sullivan, Austin Blythe, Rob Halvenstein, McVay's in town. They ran the ball. Goff never faced pressure. They went 13-3 and lost in the Super Bowl. Previous year, hard to argue, it was Philadelphia. Jason Peters, Jason Kelce, Brandon Brooks, Lane Johnson, number one graded offensive line, Pro Football Focus. Jason Kelce was the number one graded offensive lineman of 2017. They get to the Super Bowl. New England and Belichick cannot stop them. And Nick Foles wins the Super Bowl. 5 years ago, best offensive line, Dallas. Dak Prescott, a fourth-round quarterback, goes 13-3. They had the number two rushing offense, the number five total offense with a fourth-round rookie quarterback, Travis Frederick, Zach Martin, Tyron Smith was giving you 16 games. The last 5 years, you got Philip Rivers winning 11 games. And by the way, going to Buffalo, and that thing was a fistfight. They moved the ball up and down the field on the Bills. Cleveland's going to win a bunch of games. Baker's going to have a ton of time to throw. He's going to be throwing on second and four and third and one. They're going to control the clock. They're probably going to have the number one or number two rush game. Now, they face some very good defensive fronts, but it is almost impossible in the last 5-6 years. We could have gone back further. I just said, you know, before Dak, people start forgetting. This is a great offensive line. And you don't have to be great defensively. You're going to be able to keep probably Mahomes off the field and Lamar off the field and Ben off the field and at times Josh Allen off the field. So, yes, this is going to be – I said this. Remember the over-unders came out with Fox Bet and they were 9.5 for Cleveland. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. That is the only gimme on the board. Now, do I think they'll win week one against Kansas City? No. They got a bunch of new kids in the defensive backfield. They haven't played together. Andy Reid's unbelievable in September. You'll start 0-1. But this team's going to win 12 games. 11-12 games. There you go, Cleveland. Not always negative. Mind blown. Joy with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herd Line.
Not
news.
Saying you're winning the Super Bowl, but you can win a lot of games. Philip Rivers won 11 last year.
I think that they should have expectations of winning, at least making it to the Super Bowl. I don't get crazy, but you put together the team, like you have your guy. Now you're talking about you'd keep Baker over Aaron Rodgers if it was an option.
Oh, they did say that, didn't they?
The path is before you, Cleveland. That's how this works. So the Lakers could look a lot different next season, thanks to all their free agents this year. But LeBron has faith in Rob Pelinka to make the right decisions for the future of the franchise.
You know, Rob has done such a great job of, you know, constructing his team over the last few years that he will continue to do that. You know, I will have some input. He always asks for my input, you know, as AD's input. But at the end of the day, we want to continue to get better, you know, and, you know, I trust Rob, you know, trust Kurt, trust everyone upstairs that does their diligence and our coaching staff and things of that nature.
Well, he also said that the number one thing for them is getting AD healthy, because it doesn't matter what changes we make if we can't get the big fella healthy, which is 100% true. Palinka also said that, of course, LeBron and AD would, and Frank Vogel will be involved in the Lakers free agency and offseason decisions.
Well, it's not a great free agent market. It's a lot of older guards. It's Kyle Lowry. It's DeMar DeRozan. It's just not a great free agent class. And so, and by the way, one of the things you and I talked about was if the Clippers like lost to Dallas, Paul George was in trouble. But now, if the Clippers get to the conference finals, you're not going to bail on Paul George.
No.
I mean, if you lost in seven, if you win this series, and Paul George, by the way, I don't think is going to struggle the rest of the way. He matches up very well with Utah. He's going to have a nice series. So Paul George is one of those could be available on the market. But I just – and he likes California. He played at Fresno State. He wanted to come to – I just don't think it was a free agent market. And this is a team ready to win a title. You can't depend on the draft. Lakers don't have a good enough draft pick.
No, it's a win-now situation for multiple reasons for the Lakers and for LeBron. But it just – it's like you said, none of this matters if AD isn't healthy. Like, you can put the pieces in place to build a championship roster for the Lakers, even with the free agents that are available and bringing back some of the pieces that you have now. Doesn't matter if AD's not healthy, because there aren't other ADs on the market. Like, right. we're not out there looking for another star. Now, unless, you know, something like happens with Bradley Beal, we haven't heard anything about Dame, but like, again, you have to make the money fit in those situations as well. And there's not a lot of that to go around with LeBron and AD on the roster. So I don't really think it matters. It's really up to AD. If AD is healthy, then they will be a championship contender. And if he's not, it doesn't matter what you do in free agency. Yeah. That's the bottom line. So Tua will get his first full season as the Dolphins starter this year. Expectations are pretty high for him to take a big jump in year two. And Dan Marino believes in Tua. He thinks he's primed to take that next step. He said he's been great. He has all the talent in the world. Now it's just about him developing the relationship with the other players. It's been tough because he didn't have OTAs last year, a lot of the summer camp, or chance to play in exhibition games. All those things delay you somewhat. I'm really excited about him, his future, and our future as a team.
Available.
The Dolphins are all in on Tua.
Well, they are publicly.
I mean, if they weren't, they had the number three pick. They could have taken another quarterback.
I know. It's really a fascinating dilemma. Their defense is excellent. Yep. Their special teams were all world. And the division's gotten better. I mean, New England and Buffalo should be better. It is. They went 10-6. He has to be better. Like, I feel with Miami the same way I feel about the New York Giants. We will know by Thanksgiving,
yep,
whether the team says it or not. By Thanksgiving, the Dolphins and the Giants inside the front office will have made a decision on Daniel Jones and Tua. They will not tell us, but Joy, one of the downsides to progress is with all, you know, all the tech we have now, people expect you to be well read. You
right.
got, there's no excuse now that I don't have this or don't have that. Everything's on your phone. The downside to the evolution of the quarterback position is we're not going to give you 2 years now. You get about 15 starts max.
Yes. And that's what I was going to say, is that Dolphins fans keep continuing to say he doesn't, all those things are true that Dan said. He didn't have an offseason last year. He was switching back and forth with Ryan Fitzpatrick. All those things delayed his development. Okay, cool. You're not going to get 3 years. I'm
nope,
sorry. Like,
it's
this
over.
Is not the world that we exist in anymore.
Nope.
I understand it worked in Buffalo. Miami is not Buffalo. If you woke up in Miami today, open your window. It should be very easy to figure out. You are not in Buffalo, New York. That is a different place. They are much more patient there.
So, they're more patient. But also, the difference is, what you're basically insinuating is, Josh Allen was given 2 years.
Two whole years, and then he popped in his third year.
He's also 6'6", doesn't have an injury, has a huge arm. So, Josh Allen, as you're watching him, you're going, holy Lord, We know he can do things to a can't. With Tua, he's small, doesn't have a big arm, not overly mobile. So
has
there's
multiple injuries.
So there's people in the room now. His margin of error is much smaller. You're old, like Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson is so fast, you're just going to keep waiting to see if the passing comes because you're winning 80% of your games. The more gifts you have, the longer your runway is going to be. If you are a singer and you're a little bit of a mess, but your voice is insane, you're going to keep getting agent after agent. No matter how big of a headache, every agent's going to go, okay, I'm going to make him a star. I'm going to make her a star because you have the voice. Josh Allen was Mel Kiper's 10th greatest quarterback talent ever drafted. You're going to give that guy a much longer runway than Tiny Tua with injuries.
And I will be very transparent. I did not see it with Josh Allen at all. So I would have moved on more quickly. So I'm not going to take like credit for, I'm glad they gave him 3 years. I wouldn't have done it. And they were right. So they clearly saw it. But it's just the reality that we live in. You have new quarterbacks. They're getting on the field faster. They're popping faster. There's just the patience is not there anymore.
Listen, Sam Darnold, because he's a big, strong kid who can make dynamic plays, is getting a total restart with the Jets.
Well, yeah, and you have so much free agency movement with quarterbacks now. If you're in a situation like the Dolphins where you have one side of the ball essentially taken care of in the defense, you can't just wait those things out.
Josh Rosen, UCLA, did not really get a second chance. Sam Darnold, who regressed in New York, is. Why? Because you look at Darnold and you see
you see the raw talent.
So anytime in any business you have more raw talent, you're going to get second and third chances. Tua is small, not a big arm, hip injuries, and not overly mobile.
That said, they put everything in place for him. They got him a receiver. Oh. He has the weapons.
No more excuses.
Yes.
You get till Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Finally, Aaron Rodgers and the Packers aren't any closer to resolving their issues, and team president and CEO Mark Murphy spoke about the situation and had a new comment about the quarterback.
I'm often reminded, though, we have Ted Thompson, I think most of you know, just a great general manager who passed away earlier this year, often talked about Aaron that he's and it wasn't just Aaron, a lot of different players, he would say, he's a complicated fella.
Probably wouldn't have gone there.
Yeah, it's probably time, to your point earlier, to just start putting stuff on paper and not talking about it anymore. I mean, you're in a situation where, to his words, you have a divided fan base.
Yeah.
You have the league MVP who is clearly unhappy and you want to call him complicated. Like, let's just use this new rule. Don't use any more adjectives to describe Aaron Rodgers, except for MVP and our quarterback.
That's it.
Don't add any extra spice, all right? just keep it simple, because you are spicing it up in the wrong way. There is way too much salt
on this
meal.
Let's go to paper.
Yes. Just let's send it through a couple levels of a clearance before we put our statement out from now on. Yeah. I wouldn't want to hear that I'm complicated.
Joey with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Live.
Interesting story. Now, I have just been skimming it during the breaks, but there is a little story on Luka. The Athletic has been printing it that Luka may have some reservations about Dallas and some dysfunction in the organization. And do I sign here long term? I think Luka will. I think Mark Cuban treats his players great. I think it's a great place to play NBA basketball. You're in the middle of the country. You don't have any six-hour flights. Joy and I were talking about this morning in the makeup room. The NBA travel is a schloid. Ooh, they fly private jets that land at 3 in the morning. You get in a bus to go to a hotel, try to sleep again, get up at 9:30 for a shoot-around, go home, have a Caesar salad, take a nap, show up at the arena, get in a flight again. It's a schloid. So Dallas is now. Mark Cuban retweeted the story and called it BS. So now here's the thing is that's what Mark Cuban should do. The Mavericks have had, let's not overstate it. They've won a championship. They've had some dysfunction in the organization, which Cuban has acknowledged some inappropriate stuff. I generally think they're competent. I think they overspent for Kristaps Porzingis, but I think a lot of people liked him. He's a 7'4 slasher. There's not a lot of KPs on the market. I think I'll just tell you what I think Dallas needs. This sounds weird, but they could use another ball handler so Luke is not playing 44 minutes, and sometimes he could work occasionally off the ball a little. I'm not an NBA scout, but it feels like Luka is getting exhausted by the end of games. It would be great if 4.5 minutes a half, 9 minutes total, somebody else could control the ball a little and let, you know, Luka post. Luka, it just feels like he literally has the ball in his hands constantly, and he looked tired. I mean, by the way, he looked tired in the first round by the end of games. That's the James Harden thing. If James Harden has the ball in his hands in Houston, he was just exhausted by the second round. Forget the conference finals. Forget the finals. So you don't want to get into a Luka James Harden situation where Luka just has the ball in his hands. He's playing too many minutes. So he needs just to sometimes take a rest, somebody else run the team, or you're going to have this guy. He's never – Kobe Bryant said it. You can't win championships with James Harden's game. You cannot be that ball-centric. Sometimes somebody else got to bring it up. All right, we're going to go to Packerland. Tyler Dunn around the corner. Wolf and Shepherd is a dress shoe made and worn by athletes. Their founder is a former track athlete and a designer, I'm wearing mine today, who brought athletic shoe innovation to dress shoes, inventing the crossover. Wolf and Shepherd's crossover is business meets athletic shoe. You get the full-grain Italian leather, or the beautiful knit fabric on top, and the athletic agile sole. So it provides all-day comfort and style. The crossover's game for anything. Steve Nash wears them on the sidelines. Steve Nash, yeah, that Steve Nash, played pickup basketball wearing a pair of crossover long wings, a shoe he helped design. Join the pack. I've got four pairs. I absolutely love them. I can go out to dinner with them, but if you're walking around, I went for a 20-minute walk after dinner with my wife the other night. They're incredibly comfortable, and most dress shoes aren't. Join the pack. I did. Wolfandshepherd.com, wolfandshepherd.com. If you go to that site and put in the code HERD, H-E-R-D, 10% discount. Wolf and Shepherd, 10% off, code H-E-R-D.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
By the way, I'm reading this piece by Tim Cato and Sam Amick. We have Sam on the show all the time. Inside the Mavericks front office, Mark Cuban's shadow GM is causing a rift with Luka Doncic. It's a fascinating story about a man named Herlabos Volgaras, a well-known sports gambler hired by the team owner about 3 years ago, who's an analytics guy, no longer gambles. And Mark Cuban relies on him a lot, and Luka Doncic does not like him at all. So I just zoomed through the article. Mark Cuban is saying the article is BS. There's too many interesting nuggets in this for it all to be BS. Some of it is clearly sourced. Interesting stuff. Got to keep your stars happy. we'll try to get Mark on the show. Tyler Dunn's the founder and writer at GoLongTD.com. GoLongTD.com joining us live. Been covering the Packers for a long, long time. Breaks a lot of stories, has some insight. So I said last week that Jordan Love had become the Loch Ness Monster. I had these grainy pictures of him, and that was it. But now he's talking, now he's playing. So it's easy, you know, to release a little footage. Everybody looks great. When you talk to players, and you're well-sourced on this, what did players say about Jordan Love last week at the mandatory minicamp?
I think the best way to kind of show Jordan Love's progress here is that there's a player on the offensive side of the ball. When I talked to him earlier this offseason, Colin, the best way he put it was, hey, I'm closer to being the Green Bay Packers starting quarterback than Jordan is. He was a skeptic, to say the least. You go through OTAs, you go through minicamp. He describes some throws that Jordan Love made, one in which he's running to his right. He whistles it right by a guy's ear hole about 30, 40 yards downfield. And he's a believer. He believes, look, if Aaron Rodgers doesn't want to be our quarterback, let's go. Let's get behind Jordan Love. Let's believe in him. Let's surround him with the infrastructure he needs to be successful in year one. And I really do think there are players on this roster, Colin, who not only believe in Jordan Love, they're ready to move forward post Aaron Rodgers.
Wow. Now, Andrew Brandt used to be, he's a lawyer now. I think he runs a law school somewhere. My bad if I got that wrong. He is a former executive for the Packers. He said last week Don't kid yourself. The Packers are getting to look at Jordan Love. They need to look at Jordan Love. And that when Favre wouldn't come to like mandatory minicamp, it was a benefit because they got to see Aaron Rodgers. Do you think there are people in the room that are kind of okay Aaron not being there?
I think the coaches love the fact that they get to see Jordan Love day in and day out up close. This is something they didn't get last year. He's on the scout team. He's pretending to be a different quarterback every single week. They never got to see him be himself. The reason they drafted him was that big arm, was the athleticism, was the fact that they're going to pick in the late 20s every year with Aaron Rodgers as a starting quarterback, right? So if you're in that predicament, you're Brian Gutekunst, heck yeah. If you believe in a guy, you trade up and you take him and you develop him for this moment. Now, obviously, it's a little sooner than they would have liked. Aaron Rodgers is a little caught up into his feelings right now. But I think that Jordan Love was drafted at that point for an absolute reason, that there are guys who believe in him. The coaches are able to see him operate in this offense. And it's kind of funny, Colin. I mean, day one of minicamp, we heard how terrible he was, right? I mean, it was an emotional time for some, let's just say, pro 12 surrogates out there. I mean, they're saying it was a point of leverage for Aaron Rodgers. The fact that Jordan Love is struggling, it's a mini camp practice, for crying out loud. I mean, if we've learned anything from 2008, it's the fact that it doesn't have to be gloom and doom on the other side. It doesn't have to be apocalyptic. Jordan Love might be damn good. The team around him might be really, really good, like it was in 08 when they won a Super Bowl 2 years later. I think that push could come to shove here because, I mean, it's on the Packers too, Colin. It's on Mark Murphy to look in the mirror and face the fact that Aaron Rodgers ain't walking through that door. I would be shocked if day one of training camp, he shows up with a big grin on his face, ready to be the starting quarterback for the Green Bay Packers. It's not about money. It's not about the roster. It's about feelings. Really? His feelings were hurt. If it's about facts, he shows up and he's the quarterback in Green Bay as long as he wants to be the quarterback in Green Bay.
So Mark Murphy did come out and say Rodgers is a complicated fella. The media has picked up on that and said, come on, Mark, what are you doing? Well, how's the reaction to that in Green Bay, though?
You know, I'm sure nobody's thrilled about it, right? Because Mark Murphy did just say it's best for both sides to not say a lot publicly. But I mean, let's look at the facts of it. It's 100% true. I mean, he is about as complicated of a star as you're going to see in this league. They know it. Everybody knows it. It's not a secret. And he was quoting Ted Thompson, right? And he's quoting the GM that believed in Aaron Rodgers when nobody else seemed to believe in Aaron Rodgers. So I don't know. I don't. At the end of the day, I think it gives us all something to talk about. But I don't think it affects anything because, frankly, I don't think anything has really changed here since that bomb was dropped day one of the draft. I don't think that these two sides are any closer to figuring this out, any more apart. I think it's been bad for a while. And unless this was all a ploy, you know, for him to get more money out of the situation while publicly embarrassing the Green Bay Packers along the way, then I guess he would show up. But everything I'm told, Colin, these are people close to the team, close to the quarterback. It's that we need to believe this. We need to believe that he is dug in and that he will not only threaten to retire. I've heard that's a real thing, that he would rather retire than play for the Packers again.
Wow. By the way, when you talk to players, I want to circle back on this. You said there are players who are ready to move on. So you've had players, you've had players tell you, let's go. Let's go in one direction. So there's already some Baylors in the locker room.
I don't know if I'll call them Baylors. I think the best way to put it is they want some direction, right? They want to know what we're doing as a franchise. What's the plan? Because if you let this linger into training camp, it's going to poison the team,
sure,
the locker room, everything. I mean, you can ban the reporters from the locker room all you want. These players themselves, they're going to want direction. They're going to want to know who our quarterback is when that day one of training camp comes. And if you just let this elephant sit in the room, if you let this linger on and on and on, I think it's going to be a huge, huge problem for the Green Bay Packers and make 2008 seem like child's play. I mean, look, Ted Thompson, he's going to be in that Packers Hall of Fame. He's going to live in Packers lore for many reasons. Number one is he saw that as an opportunity post Brett Favre, right? I think where all of us, myself included, saw a 13-3 team that was one pass from the Super Bowl, how in the heck do you not roll out that red carpet for Brett Favre? He knew that there had to be a next era. There had to be a new chapter. He supported Aaron Rodgers. They all got behind Aaron Rodgers. And I'm sure there were guys in that locker room, Colin, that weren't thrilled about it. You know what I mean? You probably have had some of them on this show. Veterans that wanted Brett Favre to be the quarterback, that absolutely were banging the table for Brett Favre, that in retrospect are pretty glad that Ted Thompson charted that direction. So it's on whoever's in charge, right? Mark Murphy was the president then, but he let Ted do his thing. I think Mark Murphy is definitely wielding more power now. It's on him, Gutekunst, Matt LaFleur to all get on the same page. Trade Aaron Rodgers. Get as much as you can for him. Like I said, I'd be shocked if he's there for training camp. Otherwise, it's going to be a problem throughout August.
Wow. All right. GoLongTD.com. GoLongTD.com. Tyler Dunn covering the NFL since 2011. Great seeing you. We love the update. We will talk soon, I'm sure.
Any day, any time, man. Thanks for having me, Colin.
All right, Tyler Dunn. Okay, so this story is from The Athletic, which is the subscription journalism service. Tim Cato and Sam Amick. Mark Cuban is saying this story is BS. So it's got a lot of different sources in it. Basically, that Luka Doncic, multiple league sources say, he intends to sign the Supermax extension with Dallas for more than $200 million. But that within the organization, beyond Doncic, there are multiple people that are not happy with Mark Cuban's relationship with a former well-known sports gambler who's now a data guy and analytics guy. He's moved past that. Name, Haralobos Vulgaris. Who's not great with people, according to this, can be kind of rough. He and Doncic had a really bad moment during the playoffs. The influence has spanned over the last couple of years. He's got a lot of power. You know, this could also be as simple as this. Mark Cuban is the most powerful person in the organization, and that whoever gets close to Mark will be resented. You know, it could be that. And this guy is somebody who's into analytics and data, which Mark Cuban obviously embraces. And some of these scouts feel like, hey, who's this guy? I want to be close to Mark. So I'm not saying the story's true or not true, but I'm jealousy ends up being anonymous sources all the time.